Welcome to the Speak and Get What You Want podcast, where you learn to communicate like the world's most successful leaders. Now, here are your hosts, TK Stratton and Chad Kirby. All right, welcome to the Speak and Get What You Want podcast. Excited for our guest today, Aaron Dutcher, who's extremely successful in real estate and has had the ability, probably from a young age, to effectively communicate and has leveraged that to get him to where he is today. Aaron, great to be with you on the podcast today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to it. This is going to be good.
And Aaron, let me just start with this question. It's always been easy for you to build relationships in a business like real estate, where it's so heavy in, well, it's based in relationships.
All relationships.
Yeah. Tell me, what is it that has been your, what is it that has made you so successful in building those relationships?
You know, I think there's a number of things that come down to where that goes, right? I think there's some natural abilities where people are either just, you know, charismatic or friendly or are able to strike up a conversation anywhere. I think that goes a long way. But you can be a charismatic asshole real easy, right? Like, I mean, just because you're charismatic doesn't mean you automatically win the card of building relationships.
Right.
And so for me, one thing is, and my wife can attest to this, I just hang on to people. And I probably hang on to people too long, and maybe sometimes what I shouldn't. But because of that, relationships are important to me. And so, like, if I have a client today, I want that client forever. If I have a client from 15 years ago, I want to be their broker again today. And I'll stay in touch with them, and I'll, you know, follow up with them. And that's one of my key things is follow up, follow up, follow up. I believe that that's massively part of my success, is that I just follow up with people till they say, hey, I want to do a deal, or quit contacting me, you're driving me crazy. And that, I think, in the ability to want to know how people are and what they're doing, makes a big difference. So my clients, you know, it's not like I just call them up out of the blue. They're like, oh yeah, it's Aaron again. So I think that's where it's really played in for me over time.
Oh, that's phenomenal. That's great. I hope everyone listening heard that. Because what you're saying there, Aaron, is that you're constantly creating that connection. It is not something that you just do here and there, or occasionally when you need something from somebody, but you're always creating that connection. And from what it sounds like, you're always intentional about it. So
yeah, I try really hard to be.
Yeah. But how do you stay on top of that? Cause you're busy. You know, before we even came on the air, I was like, Aaron, how's it going? And you're like, it's busy, but it's good. Yeah. So tell me, how do you constantly intentionally create those connections?
Couple things. One, technology is your friend. I mean, I don't think it has to be spontaneous to be real. And I don't think it has to be, you know, just whenever you think about it for it to be real. Like, schedule those things out. Like, I have a list every Monday that rotates every 4 weeks of people that I want to check in on. And that's not even just business-wise. Now, business-wise, I have a CRM and all that stuff. So, right, like, it's pinging people and it's doing things. But, like, I have a list of friends and family that I'm concerned about for one reason or another, or maybe they're going through a hard time. Every week, here's my people I'm going to follow up with this week. And then I just sit down and I write them a text, or I send them a card or a call. And it doesn't have to be anything big. It's just, hey, just thinking about you. I want you to know I'm here. If you need anything, you know, let's go to lunch or grab a happy hour or whatever. So I think technology is your friend. And I think the other one is if you get the impression to, like, call someone, do something, text something, there's a reason. And maybe it is business. Maybe it's financially motivated. Maybe it's just that they need to hear from you. And so I try really hard. And again, life's busy, so it's not always that great, or not always 100% success rate. But if it comes up, then I'll text them right then, or I'll give them a call right then and just say, hey, you know, wanted to follow up on this. And that's mostly my business stuff too. Like, hey, your building's going along great. Looks like we're going to close in a couple weeks. Everything's nice and calm over here. If you need anything, you know, give me a call.
Yeah, that's amazing, Aaron, that you do that. That's something that, you know, the number one, and I work with a lot of attorneys, not for helping them grow their firm, not for a personal standpoint, but what the number one complaint that attorneys will get to the Bar Association. Okay. The number one complaint, and all of them would know, if I was in a room full of attorneys right now, I'd ask them this question and they all know the answer, and it is lack of communication. And they don't communicate to, and they'll say, Chad, I have nothing to communicate about. But what you just said there, when you said, hey, looks like everything's on schedule, just wanted to let you know, and keeping in touch with them during the process, Aaron, there's great connection that happens at that time. And then they feel like they're in the loop.
Exactly. And then it's not, because one thing I realized early in my career is, if there's silence, usually that means everything's okay. But that also means that there's a chance that something could go wrong instantly and you're not in front of it. And so if there's silence, just hit them. And I tell my team this all the time. I'm like, just shoot them an email and tell them there's nothing new on the market. If there's nothing new on the market, communicate that to them so that they're not frustrated and go, well, I haven't heard from you in 5 days. You're not even looking for me. No, I'm looking every day. There's just nothing to report because I didn't have anything. But tell them that. Shoot them a quick email. Hey, I was looking again today. I didn't find anything. I'll look again tomorrow.
You know, Aaron, that sounds so simple, but it's amazing to me how people don't do. People just don't do it.
They won't do it. They won't do it. It drives me crazy. I'm like, guys, I have an acronym for my team, and it's etc. Have you done your etc.? Are you doing etc.? Which et cetera is like more, right? Or more of the same or whatever. But the acronym is email, text, call. If you have not emailed, text, or called your client this week, they're not your client anymore. If you haven't, and if you've been emailing them and they're not responding, then you better send them a text. And if you're texting and they're not responding, then you better give them a call. Because there's a breakdown in communication. So something's not getting done. Because otherwise, they just respond to your email. Okay, thanks. But they're not. So either it's going to spam, or they're not seeing it, or they don't like you anymore. So you got to figure out which one it is and get in front of it. So yeah, I tell people all the time, hey, et cetera. If you're not going the extra, then someone else is.
Well, and Aaron, it's amazing to me how quickly people go to a dark place. Like when they haven't heard anything and they haven't been communicated to, they immediately go to this dark place and wonder, oh my goodness.
Everything's bad. The sky's falling. You know, now we're never going to get this deal done because I haven't heard from anybody.
Right. And well, and along those lines, Aaron, one thing that you are so good at is anytime I interact with you, you have this tremendous energy. You're always positive. You're always focused. How do you maintain? And we teach that people match your energy in 3 minutes or less, right? And so if it's positive, they're matching your positive energy. If it's negative, it's negative. So Aaron, how have you been able to maintain? Because the real estate industry is not, it's not necessarily an easy industry to maintain positive energy. So what is it that you do to maintain that positive energy amidst sometimes some stressful negotiations and stressful times?
You know, I think I've had a natural disposition to look at things through rose colored glasses my whole life, where like, it's just, you know, the cup's half full. Where my wife is the complete opposite. The cup is always empty. And so we always joke that somewhere between the two of us is reality, because I'm everything's golden and she's everything's going to fall apart.
Right.
And so I think there's some natural ability to that, but also I try and do a lot of good things that I know are good for me on a daily basis. So I can do that. Like anything, you put good ingredients in, you're going to get good results out. And so I make sure and, you know, get my workouts in. I'm a heavy sauna cold plunge guy. I like to read good books. Like, you listen or go look at my Audible or see the books. Like, my books aren't a lot of fiction and stories and anything. My books are how to be a better dad, how to be a better business owner, how to make my mind stronger, how to make my body stronger. And so it's a lot of like self-help and, energy and mind work and different things on how to look at stuff. So overall, I think you have to put good things in. And I think that you can't let any of your failures or the things that didn't happen destroy you. Cause some people, you know, a deal will fall through and they're like, well, that's it. I'm never going to try again. Well, no, like my business is built on consistency. It's just, you're going to go and you're going to do the same thing again today that you did tomorrow, that you're going to do the next day and the next day, because they're not all going to go through. Most of my deals don't go through. And so I take every deal as it was a good deal. Some people be like, oh man, you wasted, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars and hundreds of hours, and that deal never went through. Yeah, but here's what I learned from that deal. I learned not to do this again. I learned that this type of financing doesn't work. I learned that this type of negotiation doesn't work. Or I just learned that that guy's a jerk on the other end and wasn't going to sell this property anyway. Like, you know, there's a way to learn from everything. And so I always say, if you learn something from it, it wasn't a failure. And if you pick yourself back up again, you're not losing because you're still moving forward.
Well, and you know, Aaron, you bring up several great points there, because a lot of people will think to themselves, okay, Aaron's got great energy. He's very optimistic. Well, he's just wired that way, right? But you said a few things there I just want to make sure everyone heard. And that was first that you take care of yourself. Like, you put in the necessary effort to make sure that you are good, right?
I look at it like a plane, right? Everyone always says you got to put your mask on first so you can help other people.
Right.
Well, I've seen that where people pass because they think, oh, I'm not going to do anything. They pass out and then you're no use to anyone. So if I'm not taking care of me, I'm no use to my team. I'm no use to my employees. I'm no use to my family. I have to take care of this first and then I can help everyone else. And if I'm taking care of this, then I feel good. I like it.
No, good. That's phenomenal insight, because you take care of yourself physically. You take care of yourself mentally. You mentioned that in Audible, you're always putting in those positive instructional books that are helpful for you to get you to where you need to be. So you're putting forth the needed effort to get into that place. And then you're stacking the odds of success in your favor. If you weren't taking care of yourself from a health standpoint and a mental standpoint, then you wouldn't be able to show up. But then there's one thing that you mentioned lastly that I think could be the most important, is that consistency. You are consistently putting in the effort every day. And a lot of people just don't want to be consistent.
Yeah. They wake up, they do it one day, or they don't see results in 5 days, you know? And I think that's a big thing, especially in my world, because our deals just take so much longer. And I tell people that want to break into this, I'm like, you have to be willing to starve for a year just to get your deals to start going through and build your pipeline. So if you're not committed to waking up every day and doing this without the joy of a paycheck, it's not for you, because you have to look so far down the future of what could come that today's efforts, you don't see today's efforts until, you know, a long time later. And so everyone will be like, oh, it's busy today. Oh, business must be good. You're probably like crushing it right now. Well, we'll see in 6 months. Like, I don't know. That's how far my stuff is down the road. In 6 months, maybe I did. In 6 months, maybe I didn't. We'll see how it goes.
Well, and you touched on this a little bit, Aaron, and I just want you to expound on it. And that is the lessons you've learned from failure. And so you sit back, and obviously you've been exceptionally successful, and a lot of people look at you and you're like, wow, Aaron is so successful. But what about those lessons that you've learned from failure and how you've not allowed those failures to keep you in a rut or a low point?
You know, the story always depends on who's telling it, right? You can tell the story and go, oh, here's all the bad things that happened to me, and this is why it was so hard. Or you can take that same story and flip it around from a different perspective and like, here's all the good things that happened to me, and this is why it's so great. And so I think however we want to tell that story, people look at, you know, me, or they'll talk to me and they'll say, hey man, you've done this. I mean, this must have been great. And you're like such a good success story. I'm like, well, if you want to say it that way, yeah, it's been a fantastic success story. And I do, but you could also say it's a horrible tragedy because of what I have had to go through. Mm-hmm. But I just don't focus on those points. But I also, like I said, I'll learn from those situations. Just to tie this kind of all together, when I was a kid, whatever scared me is what I wanted to do, because I didn't want to be scared of stuff. And so as a kid, I was like, I'm scared of heights. So I'd find the tallest tree, climb the tallest tree. Okay, the tree's now the tallest thing. Well, I'm going to go find the tallest building, get on top of the tallest building. Well, and then I got to, okay, now there's a radio tower. I'm going to climb the radio tower. Scared to death, shaking, you know, incredibly, because I'm just so scared. But now I'm not scared of heights because I went and did what I was afraid of. Well, you know, the Great Recession happened. We had a massively successful business. and we lost everything. And I mean everything, down to I had $100 in my bank account. My cars were getting repoed. My houses were all in foreclosure. And I was telling my wife, don't put gas in the car because we only have like $98 left in our debit account. Like, this is not good. At the same time, we're pregnant with our fifth kid. A year later, I become a raging alcoholic. A year later, I get divorced and everything falls apart. And so you look at that and you go, you have nothing. You lost your business. You have no money. You have no assets. You have no wife, no house, no car, no kids. And you're an alcoholic. Like, what more can you do in life? You pick yourself up and you go, okay, this isn't where I want to be. And let's make some changes. And so then you start making those changes and you start doing those things. And then the same thing with this business since then. I've had to reinvent it 5 or 6 times because the market changes, my agents change, the brokerage changes. And you could take those moments and go, what are you going to do? Like, everything changed and this isn't going to work. Or you pick yourself up and you learn from it and you go again. And now I look back at those experiences and I go, man, look at all the stuff I learned. And also, now I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of losing everything. I've already been there, done that. I can do it again. I don't want to, but I could. And so when you have that now perspective of I'm not scared to do some stuff that might be a little riskier with my business, or maybe a little bit risky with my relationship, or a little bit risky with my agents, I'm not scared about that because I've seen coming back from nothing and I can do that now. So having that ability to go through those really dark moments or those really scary moments or those things that might not be great for business, but to learn from it and come out the other side, it's like, okay, great. Now, you know, what can't stop me? Like, we're good to go.
Right. Well, and you said two things there, Aaron, that I just want you to really unpack a little further. One thing you said was, it's where I chose to focus. I really chose to focus on certain things. And then the second thing is you just had to pick yourself up. So how were you able to focus on the positive and pick yourself up when you are in the depths of, for lack of a better word, despair, right? I mean, losing everything. And obviously things are much better now. You can see, those that are watching this, you can see the picture of you and your wife in the background. Yeah. And so your marriage came back together and the family came back together and you were able to put yourself in a much better spot. But how was your ability to focus on the right things? How were you able to do that?
Well, I think it's some of that consistency, right? Mm-hmm. Having a goal, writing that goal down and saying, here's where I'm going to go with it. And here's what I'm going to do to make that happen. Then you have something to work towards and you've got that, you know, whatever beacon that it is that's shining for you to say, here's where I'm going, here's what I want to do. And as you continue to like, can pick yourself up, choose that, move through with it, go to the next one. Like, it's just, it's consistency. It's not easy at first, but just like working out's not easy at first, but the more you do it, you create a habit, you change your attitude, you change your perspective, and then, man, you're just in a whole different world.
Wow. That's amazing. Creating that level of consistency was able to take you from where you are to where you really truly wanted to be.
Yeah.
So what would you tell someone right now, Aaron, that may be feeling that level of despair?
Well, I would say one of the greatest things we can give anybody is hope. And I think that whether it's, you know, with my agents and giving them hope of a deal going through, whether it's my kids and giving them, you know, hope that, hey, one day high school is going to be over. You're not going to have to do this every day. Or if it's with people and where they're at in their personal life, like, there's hope for a better tomorrow. You just have to be willing to take some steps to make that happen. I find that lots of people don't want to take the steps. They want to blame someone. They want to play victim. They want to sit in it. They're not going to do what it takes to get that movement. But with a little bit of help or a little bit of focus or, you know, a coach or a mentor in your corner. I mean, I say all the time, like, we have basketball coaches and business coaches and coaches for my kids swimming and coaches for my kids horsemanship. I mean, we have coaches everywhere. Why not get a coach personally that can help you through those mental challenges and to see that hope and to see what you can do and what you can be, and that they can hold you accountable and help you through those times, because they are hard.
You know, that's interesting. You bring up, you talk about focus, being consistent, and then Aaron, you bring it, not having to do it alone. And that's huge.
Yeah, you have to, everything's a community, right? Like you were talking at the beginning, following up with certain people and creating those relationships and having to communicate. If you have that community and they're around you, much easier to be a better person when the people around you are better people and want you to be a better person.
Love that. I love that. I know TK is now on the podcast with us, Aaron, and TK, you've always been a big sense of community individual.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Aaron has actually done a lot of deals for us. You know, he's really good. And Aaron's built up quite a team, you know, to make that happen. And I've always been interested just kind of watching Aaron grow your team and stuff. What things have you had to do to kind of create such a loyal team? You know, I've noticed you've had people for years and they only work for you. And I got to think it's a lot of how you communicate with them. It's a lot of what you're mentoring and coaching with them, and they seem to just love you. And so I think that's probably a lot of how you treat them and different things. What are some things that you've done to kind of build that and keep people around so long? Because you've had a lot of these guys with you for years that I've watched you.
I appreciate that. The thing that I think when I was young in business, I thought business had to look a certain way, right? You had to wear the certain tie and you had to show up a certain way and you couldn't have certain conversations and you couldn't almost just be real with people. And then I discovered that there wasn't any in-depth relationship there. And so the more real I was with my agents, the more real they were with me. And then they started opening up about everything. So sometimes our conversations aren't even about the deal. It's about what's going on at home, which, you know, that might not serve us too well on getting that deal done, but it's definitely going to make that agent feel better. They're going to have a voice and someone they can talk to that they trust, and then they're going to feel better. And eventually that should help them get the deal going the right direction, because now their minds refocus and reset. And so I found that if I just took the gloves off and was just super real with my people of here's who I am, here's what I am at the office, and here's what I am out of the office, and I'm going to be the same person, and I'm going to laugh with you, I'm going to joke with you, and I'm going to call you out on your bullshit when I need to. Man, all of a sudden they are really real with you too. And you start to create those friendships that are deeper than just the employer-employee relationship.
That's huge. Creating that loyalty and deepening that relationship is significant. I love that. I love what, and going back to what you said already, Aaron, consistency across the board.
Yeah, there it is again.
That consistency word, just being consistent in every aspect and element of your business.
Oh, you got muted. You back? There he is.
That's right. So, Aaron, phenomenal insights, great information. Loved having you being on the podcast. We're going to have to get you back again soon.
Hey, I love it. I love getting on here and sharing a few little tidbits of information. You guys have always been great, and I appreciate your guys' support and embracing me and my business as well. So thank you.
Absolutely. Great being with you, Aaron. Have a great day. See you, TK.
Awesome.
Yeah.
See you guys. Bye now.